Welcome to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte, a program where executives and federal government leaders talk about the issues and initiatives that are making a real impact on the business of government today to help government help America. Today, we're going to talk about Paralympics. The United States Olympic Committee is a leader in the Paralympic sports movement and dedicated to assisting physically disabled Americans. But the USOC is not just about competitive sports. Their diverse programming also facilitates training and employment opportunities that benefit the health and self-esteem of participants. By providing grassroots programming in local communities, this thriving network encourages disabled veterans to live an active lifestyle to enjoy a better quality of life. Today, we're discussing how the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Defense are partnering with the U.S. Olympic Committee Paralympic Division to use sports programs to change the outlook of disabled veterans' lives. We welcome Charlie Huebner, Chief of USOC Paralympics. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And also Mark Goulart, Principal with Deloitte Consulting. Mark?
Hello, good morning.
And let me just give you a little background on these gentlemen. Charlie Huebner is currently the Chief of Paralympics for the U.S. Olympic Committee, and he serves as the Senior Manager of the Paralympic Programs across all USOC divisions. Charlie has always been very active in community volunteerism programs and sits on the board of numerous organizations. He's one of the nation's top sports advocates for people with disabilities. And in 1996, Charlie was one of 41 Americans to win the prestigious Jefferson Award for Community Service. Mark Goulart is a principal and the lead client service partner for Deloitte's Veterans Affairs. He leads a cross-functional team in providing services across the VA and is also responsible for Deloitte's day-to-day client relationships. Mark also serves as Deloitte's senior representative to the United States Olympic Committee's Paralympic Military Program and is coordinating Deloitte's activities in support of veterans and wounded warriors. Mark also served as an officer in the U.S. Army from 1983 to 1987 and is passionate about veterans awareness. Gentlemen, thank you both. And I'll start with this question for you, Charlie. I'll ask, because Paralympic awareness is growing in the United States, but maybe not on top of mind for every American or even every sports enthusiast. So talk to us a little bit about the Paralympics and the difference between the Paralympics and maybe the Special Olympics, which people are very aware of.
Yes, absolutely. The Paralympic program is focused on persons with physical disabilities, and it's providing sport and physical activity for individuals with physical disabilities. Special Olympics, which is a partner organization of the U.S. Olympic Committee, is focused on sport programming for persons with intellectual disabilities. So, you know, one of the objectives of the U.S. Olympic Committee, now that we are responsible for Paralympic sport in the United States, is to really educate Americans about the differences between the two organizations and programs.
And so a little bit of history about the movement, the Paralympics movement. Has it been around a long time, and maybe since the World Wars, or is it more recent?
Yeah, the Paralympic movement has been around since post-World War II, and it really began with injured military personnel using sport as part of rehabilitation for veterans returning from World War II. And the United States and the United Kingdom were significant leaders in the development of Paralympic sport after World War II. And the U.S. Olympic Committee's role, we're somewhat new to taking the leadership role in Paralympic sport. And we're one of only four national Olympic committees in the world that actually manage both the Olympic and Paralympic program. Most countries have two separate entities, so we're very proud of the fact that we lead an effort to integrate and manage both the Olympic program and the Paralympic program.
So the reason that Deloitte is involved in this is because we're one of the sponsors for one of the Paralympic activities, a very big one that we'll get to and talk about later. But these are partnerships, and you have quite a few of them with public and private organizations. Now, why are these collaborations important? Mark, why don't you talk about that?
Well, something that we've learned here is that the USOC really has partnerships with many organizations and some that are our clients, the Department of Defense and Department of Veterans Affairs, which are two of our clients today. And so we're also being a partner with the USOC sort of in collaboration. So it really makes good sense for us to work with them closely. And of course, building partnerships also creates great collaboration, creates great awareness. It increases that. And that's what we're involved here with the USOC.
Well, I mean, in these times, I mean, collaboration is absolutely incredible. I mean, just what's going on in the country and what's going on in communities all over the United States, we just see the collaborative relationships being critical to success, and also being cost efficient. We're unique, and a lot of organizations have come to us because the U.S. Olympic Committee has more than 50 member organizations that are part of the Olympic movement. Groups like the National Recreation and Parks Association and USA Swimming, where we have a footprint in communities all over the United States. We have, you know, that footprint, that staff, those facilities. What was lacking in the U.S. and what we're really focused on in collaboration with our partners, both corporate, private, and government, is there's a lack of expertise in the United States on how to provide programs for persons with physical disabilities. And a specific emphasis for us in that space is kids with physical disabilities, where every day in a community somewhere in the United States, a kid acquires a physical disability, whether it's through an accident or illness. And we have more than 40,000 injured members of our armed forces returning home right now to communities that, in many cases, don't have the expertise to provide physical activity for a person with physical disability. So through collaboration, through partnership with organizations like Deloitte, and especially Deloitte with their expertise, we've created a model that can cost-efficiently provide the training, the technical assistance, and the programming, utilizing our partners all over the U.S. to meet the need.
Describe what that looks like, because I think, you know, we're talking about what it may sound like in a business case, but talk about what that really looks like. Mark, I know you've experienced some of this.
Yeah, and it's something Charlie and I talked about early on here. I mean, we have offices nearly every state here in the United States. And for us, there's a deep personal connection to the community side, as Charlie mentioned. So what it looks like for us is really an outreach that we can get into the communities where we live and work and see that we can provide value-added support, if you will. And so there's a great degree of interest, I guess, from our partners and from the local communities in which we serve. And so it's an easy sell, so to speak, for the folks here at Deloitte. How do we get involved? It's just in our backyards. And so that's what Charlie talks about. It happens in your backyard. It makes it an easy opportunity for us to support them.
And so these are programs that put disabled athletes, people that have maybe been in sports activities in the past, back into those activities. And the outcome really is to facilitate better life, better, you know, engagement in the community, maybe sometimes a reawakening after they've returned from the battlefield.
Sure. I mean, part of the times is just getting them back into the swing of things, right? Especially when you look at a veteran or a wounded warrior who returns, and Charlie will tell you, we've experienced many stories of veterans who just need a bit of a jump start. And so the community programs is so important for them just to get started, to get back in the swing of things. And so the partnership that we have, and of course the programming from the U.S. Olympic Committee, is really key. They can reach into the communities, to the Paralympic sport clubs, and that is the start of something really special.
Two components. Our mission at the U.S. Olympic Committee is twofold. One, to prepare a team to go to the Olympic and Paralympic Games, and that's the elite side of what we do. And only 5% of the population have the talent or willing to make the commitment to go represent their country at the Paralympic Games. And that's one component. The second component on the Paralympic side is to make sure that these programs are available. And that's a need that a government accountability report showed, that there's a lack of programming and expertise at the community level. So you think about this. You got veterans returning home with a physical disability, and it's not just the individual that's impacted. It's also their support network, their family, their friends, and in a lot of cases, they don't know what to do. And it's something, and we see it every single day, it's something as simple as the norm. I used to ski with my buddy. To go skiing with your buddy again, but now your buddy's in a mono ski because he has a spinal cord injury, or he's skiing on a prosthetic leg, makes all the difference in the world. It's just returning to a sense of normalcy and jumping back into the game, as Mark mentioned. And that's what we see and what we're trying to provide through training, through technical assistance, through our expertise and our infrastructure. So when young men and women return to their communities, they can participate in physical activity with their buddies. And just as importantly, we heard this specifically from a veteran, he was concerned about playing with his kids. just playing in the backyard with his kids like any mom or dad would do. And that's a big part of what we're trying to do at the grassroots level with our programming.
And I'm going to just say, I mean, I'm feeling a little chill just hearing you describe it. So this must be incredibly rewarding when you actually meet some of the veterans or some of the disabled folks that are involved in these programs and they tell you or share with you what it's meant to their lives.
Overwhelming. I mean, I can't think of another word. I mean, it's overwhelming. But you know, let me tell one quick story about a young man who NFL player, played at Ohio State University, played in the NFL, always had a dream of serving. His grandfather served, his father served. He joined the Army, wanted to become a Ranger, went to Iraq, fell down a 40-foot stairwell while he was protecting a unit, and had a traumatic brain injury. He understood just from his own personal story the importance of physical activity in his rehabilitation. And you think about the outcomes of physical activity, research proves it, higher self-esteem, lower secondary medical conditions, lower stress levels, higher achievement levels in education and employment for people with disabilities. Those are all research-proven items that impact our society every day. Well, this Army Ranger chose to pursue a job at a Parks and Rec facility near a base because he wanted to ensure more programming was available for veterans. And today, Joe Brown is at Harker Heights Parks and Recreation in Texas, providing programming now, sustainable programming for veterans in that community, for persons with physical disabilities in that community, and for active duty members of the armed forces at Fort Hood. That all started because he came to a National Paralympic Leadership Conference that was presented by Deloitte and was trained on how to go back and do that in his community. And Harker Heights hired a veteran. They hired a hero. So that kind of brings it all together. I mean, this man went from being injured in Iraq to being gainfully employed in a community and giving back to other veterans in that community.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie, what a great story. And we've heard many stories from our interactions with veterans. And, you know, it's not surprising. We have a number of veterans here who are at Deloitte. And so a heavy population here is very interested in the outcomes that Charlie mentions. So the personal stories, the personal interactions for us is what touches our employees. It actually motivates us to do more. And so when you have the kind of linkage between Deloitte, the veterans, be it DOD or Department of Veterans Affairs, and the Olympic Committee, wow, that is just a great team. And look at the outcomes that can be achieved.
It's pretty amazing. And we're going to talk about one of the big activities that takes place in the spring, and that is the Wounded Warrior Games. So all that coming up here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. So stay tuned. You're listening to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jane Norris.
The U.S. Paralympic movement has a passion for helping people realize extraordinary achievements through the development of new sports programs. Deloitte is proud to support the 2012 U.S. Paralympics Warrior Games as the presenting sponsor for the third consecutive year. To learn more about the commitment to help injured military personnel and veterans in their recovery and transition through Paralympic sports, visit them at Deloitte.com/Warrior Games.
Welcome back to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte. Today we're talking about the Paralympics and the use of Paralympic sports to change the outlook of disabled veterans and their lives. Joining us on the show is Charlie Huebner, chief of the USOC Paralympics, and Mark Goulart, principal with Deloitte Consulting. And let me just ask about the big project that really many of these Paralympic activities are geared toward, at least for some of the elite athletes involved, and those are the Warrior Games, which take place in Colorado Springs every spring. So tell us about what's on the docket this year. Can you share with us that information, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, people always ask the question about what, you know, we're going into our third year of the Warrior Games presented by Deloitte. And last year I was often asked, what's the difference between last year and this year? And the difference is this. You know, we'll have about 200 to 220 injured service members and veterans from all service branches, including the Coast Guard. And every story, every one of their stories is different. Every one of their injuries is different. Every one of their rehabilitation processes is different. Every one of their situations. kids is different. And the key to rehabilitation and success and jumping back into life is having a rehab process that listens to and addresses those differences. So we'll have 220 stories of incredible young men and women that have served our country at this year's Warrior Games in 2012. And the incredible thing about Warrior Games, and you talk about collaboration and partnership, I mean, working with Deloitte, working with the Department of Defense, the USO, the Fisher House Foundation, the Department of Veteran Affairs, we have so many different partners that allow us to host that event, and it's very humbling to host the event at the Olympic Training Center. But the incredible thing that the Warrior Games has done is it has really shared the impact nationally of the importance of physical activity in the rehab process. And we have seen, you know, the Warrior Games happen here in Colorado Springs for about 6 days. Where the significant rehab happens is what happens when those individuals go back home. And the other 359 days out of the year, we've seen a 23% increase in programming and physical activity participation at the installation and community level as a result of the energy, excitement, and Paralympic ambassadors that have been created at the Warrior Games.
So you mentioned in there, which is incredible information. First of all, this is the third year for Deloitte, which I think is, you know, the first time we've said anything about that. So very happy to hear that Deloitte is involved yet for the third consecutive year. And you mentioned partnerships. So, Mark, I know that that's something that's meaningful to you. This isn't just something that Deloitte is working with this group on. There are other partners as well.
No, there are. And what started off as a phone call 3 years ago of would we help this thing called Warrior Games, I think is blossomed into something that's much bigger. And when Charlie says a little excitement, I'd say that's an understatement. You know, going to the Warrior Games at the Olympic Training Center, Charlie's referred to this, it is a magical place. For athletes to go and train and compete at where other Olympians have trained, it just makes it all the more special. So it's a great venue to start with. Secondly, you see the families there, and you see the support for those athletes, and you see the motivation for those athletes, as Charlie said, to take it beyond those 6 or 7 days there and take it to the, you know, the balance of the year, right? And for some of them, it's getting started. For others, it's motivation to compete at a higher level. And they all have individual stories. We've been, I'll say, blessed to have been a small part of this, I think, to help out. But it's certainly a great partnership and certainly a marquee event in my mind.
And there are others that do partner with the USOC on this. So do you look for that kind of support through other companies, other entities, other public or private organizations? Charlie?
You know, a key for our success, and we're very fortunate, and Deloitte adds to this because of their network of partners and offices throughout the country, and that's something we're seeing. I mean, besides the investment that they've made, the people investment, the Deloitte volunteers that come out and work Warrior Games, but what we're also seeing happen, and this is, in this time, it's absolutely critical when resources are so limited for us to try and create collaborative opportunities at the local level, and one of the things Deloitte has done is provide us expertise on how to go about that. But what we're seeing is these you know, cadre of leaders go back to their installations with their injured service members is we are connecting the dots collectively with organizations in communities. You know, Harker Heights is a great example. You have Fort Hood there, one of the largest bases in the country. You have a significant veteran population. We, working with Deloitte and the local installation, have pulled together, and thanks to the leadership of the Department of Defense and Department of Veteran Affairs, we're able to connect the dots with local parks and rec agencies, YMCA agencies, and everybody is contributing to meet the need. And they're doing it in a way that's incredibly cost efficient. It's a sharing of public and private resources. It's an elimination of duplication. And that's something that we're trying to develop turnkey all over the country right now in more than 200 locations that are providing services for more than 14,000 veterans and members of our armed forces.
You know, when Charlie mentions there, it's economies of scale, right? In our business of consulting, we look to work with clients to make things more efficient, better use, greater collaboration. I think this is a great model to take forward. And other organizations, as Charlie mentions, the USOC, the Fisher House, organizations like that have a common mission. The key is the connected connectedness of those organizations for a better outcome. So it's working really well.
And I know, Charlie, you recently testified on Capitol Hill before the House Veterans Affairs Committee. You gave a few statistics that I think would be pretty amazing if people heard them. So just give us a basic rundown about how many people are served in the locations across the country.
Yeah, I mean, I got to credit the House Veterans Committee, the department, the leadership at the Department of Veteran Affairs and Department of Defense, because they came to us and talked about collaboration, and it was their leadership that really allowed an opportunity for us to use our infrastructure. And something that's very humbling, we have a pretty incredible brand that is inspiring and that gets people to work together. You know, the Olympic and Paralympic brand is pretty powerful, but because of the leadership of the House VA Committee and the Senate VA Committee and leaders at the Department of Veteran Affairs, you know, there were some grant dollars that were provided to help impact and develop programming. And we were able to fortunately provide more than 70 grants in 2011 that are touching more than 8,000 veterans. And in many cases, Harker Heights, Texas, I talked about, Colorado Springs, Colorado, two significant communities with huge veteran populations and big warrior transition units with injured service members, there was no programming in these communities. And we could have started from scratch and built programs that would have been extremely expensive. Instead, we used that infrastructure and we used Deloitte expertise and technical assistance to bring Parks and Rec, YMCA, VA, DOD all together to develop one plan to meet the need. And now, as a result, in those two communities, we have ongoing, consistent physical activity programming for injured veterans in those communities and members of our armed forces that are at warrior transition units, right in the community, in a very cost-effective manner.
Yeah, and I'll say there are probably other examples of that too. And for us, it's easy because we have outreach right into those communities, down in San Antonio as an example. So it's easy for us to have the conversation with the U.S. Olympic Committee to say, in this particular region, are there opportunities for us to leverage your expertise? And through the grant program, as Charlie mentioned, it's a really good outreach for us into the Paralympic sport clubs that are in those communities. So it just makes sense for us.
And so talk to me about the Wounded Warrior Games, though. These folks are the ones that dedicate themselves to really taking it up to the highest level. So these are the elite, if you will, athletes that choose to participate in these games. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, we work with all the service branches, and they each implement a selection process to pick their teams, and it's pretty amazing. I told Mark this in our first year of Warrior Games. The intensity at this, you know, I've been to sports events all over the world and some pretty incredible sports events, fortunately. And the intensity of the very first volleyball game in the very first year when the Army played the Marines was incredible. I mean, it was dripping. The noise in the volleyball venue. And these are young men and women that are competitive. They're active. And to be able to jump back into a competitive environment when society probably says, you know what, you have a disability now. You always hear about can't. These young men and women were competing for their teams, but also, as we told all the athletes that came in, you know, you're on the Marine team, but everybody that comes to the U.S. Olympic Training Center is on Team USA. So it was great to be able to have the inner rivalry of the service branches, but also everybody there knowing, all 200 athletes knowing that they're also representing Team USA.
Sure, and I think, Charlie, you quickly realize in short order that they are not focused on their disabilities. They are focused on what they can accomplish, how they can compete at whatever level they come in at, and the rivalry is very intense. And so given a few days out there, it just becomes an electrifying atmosphere, at least in my mind. So great opportunity to compete, great opportunity for individual stories, great opportunity and a great atmosphere for the collective effort.
And just, you know, from a layman's perspective, can sports enthusiasts go and see the games? Is this something that that anyone from any part of the country can purchase a ticket and go to the Wounded Warrior games in Colorado Springs?
Well, sure. Even better than that, you don't need to purchase a ticket, I don't think.
It's
admission? Yeah. I mean, the families really are where it's focused. And the spectators, and it's like anything, you know, you run a marathon, you run a half marathon, and getting that enthusiasm is so important. So that's certainly something, Charlie, I know we've talked about trying to increase that awareness as well, but it's certainly a special part of it.
Charlie, I know that you focus on the broader aspect, and I know from your testimony, you told the House Veterans Affairs Committee that more than 14,000 veterans with disabilities participated in these programs and activities. So 200 elite athletes versus 14,000, you're really serving quite a wide swath of people with disabilities.
Yeah, you know, it's no different than that with the Olympic and Paralympic team. I had mentioned that, you know, only 5% of Americans can ever even consider qualifying for, you know, that level of excellence just because of the talent and commitment it takes. But what we find and we live at daily is the ambassadors that are created, the role models that are created for all Americans. And, you know, when I look at the participants at the Warrior Games, I don't look at them being role models just for injured veterans or injured members of our armed forces or people with physical disabilities. They are role models for all Americans. And it, when we talk about a country and we talk about healthcare and we talk about obesity, and then you see a double amputee Marine playing volleyball, running track, playing basketball, big smile on his face, competing, it just creates an incredible energy that, you know, we want to share with our country and share with all Americans about the importance of physical activity and just everyday health and wellness.
Well, sure. You know, and Charlie, I know we've tried to get the word out too through a documentary and through a book as well. I think there are such great stories here, and it's truly inspiring. So I agree, they are heroes, and certainly a great event here, and we're proud to be associated with that here at Deloitte.
All right, well, be looking out for the Warrior Games coming, the Wounded Warrior Games coming this spring, and we'll tell you all about it as it approaches. I want to thank you very much for being here today, Charlie Huebner, Chief of the USOC Paralympics, and Mark Goulart, Principal, Deloitte Consulting. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte, and you can check us out on federalnewsradio.com. This is Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jane Norris.
This has been Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM with Jane Norris, your host. Make sure to tune in again in 2 weeks for another edition of Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and on federalnewsradio.com/FedCentral.
The U.S. Paralympic movement has a passion for helping people realize extraordinary achievements through the development of new sports programs. Deloitte is proud to support the 2012 U.S. Paralympics Warrior Games as the presenting sponsor for the third consecutive year. To learn more about the commitment to help injured military personnel and veterans in their recovery and transition through Paralympic sports, visit them at Deloitte.com/Warrior Games.